How do you do? The noted American author Thomas Wolfe said, "Loneliness is and always has been the central and inevitable experience of every man." And Wolfe is right as far as he goes. But he fails to mention that the defining factor of loneliness is how a person reacts to it and handles it. Today we will learn how a woman did just that because her heart and mind and life had been unshackled. This is Unshackled, the unique dramatic series telling true stories of real people, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Since 1877, Pacific Garden Mission has offered shelter for all who enter these doors that never close. At the old lighthouse, food, clothing, a warm and safe place to sleep, as well as medical and dental care are offered at no cost to all who are in need. And more important than meeting their physical needs, Pacific Garden Mission provides the answer to their spiritual needs. Through daily gospel services, Bible classes, and personal conversation, pastors and counselors proclaim the great message of a new life that can set them free, and all who are willing to find their true identity as a child of God. And now here's program number 2564 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Well, good morning, Mac, honey. You're up bright and early.
Morning, Mom. I've got to clean the kids' shoes so they'll look good for church.
Well, breakfast will be ready soon. Would you like some coffee?
No, thanks. Hey, where's Dad?
Well, I think he went back to bed. He was in the bathroom earlier, but he didn't seem to be feeling too well.
Oh, well, he sure was something last night, wasn't he?
Oh, he was just crazy. I don't know what got into him.
He's always funny, but I don't ever remember him cutting up like he did last night.
He's so excited to have you and Joy and the grandchildren here.
Yeah, he's quite a dad and quite a grandpa. Mom, did you hear something?
Oh, what do you mean, honey?
Upstairs. It sounded like... Dad!
Max? Max, what is it? Paul, are you all right?
Dad? Dad!
Max, is he?
Mom, Dad is gone.
The woman in our story came to work at Pacific Garden Mission in 1965. Her earlier life would have likely been considered normal by most. She and her husband had been happily married, they had raised a son, and were experiencing the joys of being grandparents when, suddenly, nothing would ever seem normal again. We first told her story almost 35 years ago, but today we'd like to once again introduce you to a charming, warm-hearted little woman named Hildred Stout, right now on Unshackled.
Many things have changed since I worked at Pacific Garden Mission as night supervisor of the Women's and Children's Division. In 1965, we housed those needy ladies and their children on two floors of the Mission Building on South State Street. Now, I know there must have been people far better qualified than I to do the work, but I also knew that it was God who brought me here. And I'll have to admit that I resisted. I had serious doubts, so I dragged my feet, but God kept nudging me, and the time came when I had no choice. I first knew of Pacific Garden Mission back in 1940 when Harry Saulnier came to the Bible conference at Red Rock, Pennsylvania, and showed the film Out of the Night. It made a deep impression on me and my husband, Paul. We talked about it on the drive home to Berwick.
You know, honey, that's a wonderful film.
Oh, it really is. You know, I just can't get that girl's face out of my mind. She was in such terrible condition, and then to be so completely transformed.
Yeah, there's no miracle so wonderful as the change that the Lord makes in the human heart.
Well, we ought to know. He's done it for us. You know, Paul, if I'm ever left alone, I'm going to Pacific Garden Mission and work.
Oh, you don't think that I'm planning to run out on you, do you?
You know better than that. But if God should take you first, that's what I want to do. I said it, and I meant it. And then I forgot all about it. Oh, I didn't forget about the mission. I couldn't. I look forward to the arrival of the PGM News every month, and the old lighthouse was on my prayer list. Prayer was something I had learned as a little girl from my grandmother. She used to tell me about the Lord. She wanted me to know Him. I remember she used to say, "Hilly, I want you to be different." It was probably her influence that caused me to go forward in church to receive Christ when I was only 8. I grew up to be what people call a nice girl, but I was much too busy living my own life to think much about what God had intended for me to do. When I met Paul Stout on a blind date, I was sure from the first that he was the man for me, and he responded. Ours was a short engagement and a long, happy marriage, but like most young brides, I had a great deal to learn.
Well, and what's my bride of one day up to?
They say, the way to a man's heart.
Oh, don't believe everything you hear, huh? Don't tell me I married a beauty and got myself a good cook, too.
Cook? A pot of coffee and deli cake? Oh, I neglected to tell you it before, Paul, but I don't know how to cook.
Well, I could do worse. Cake, coffee, and kisses?
First, a little prayer.
Huh? Oh, sure.
God, our Father, we give thanks for our home, for our love, and for this food. We trust in Thee to continue to provide for us as bountifully in the years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pardon me. Did you say bountifully?
No, I'm afraid I did.
Maybe we ought to pray for a cookbook, huh?
Eleven months after we were married, I gave birth to our son, Max. Ours was a happy home, but I'm afraid we thought very little about God and even less about His son, Jesus. The Bible gathered dust, and Paul's vocabulary gathered profanity. Oh, we went to church quite often and felt self-satisfied in that. But Paul's family knew that we were making the very common mistake of depending on our civilized respectability and not on the grace of God. And so for the first 5 years, they prayed for us. Those prayers were answered at a Sunday morning service at the church Paul and I attended. The message we heard went straight to Paul's heart.
You may not like to hear it, but it is essential that you do. Jesus Christ shed His blood for you. Amen. Throughout history, God has required a blood sacrifice to cover the sins of His people. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Amen. But God knew we could never offer enough sacrifices to pay the sin debt we owe. So He provided the ultimate sacrifice, His only Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly came to earth to give His life, to shed His blood, to pay the debt we owe for our sins. Think of it. All your lies, all your selfish motives, all your hurtful words, all your, you fill in the blank. The debt has been paid through the blood of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Mm-hmm. Have you accepted the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sins? Each day you delay is another day you say no to God and reject His free gift of salvation paid with the blood of His Son. If you walk out of here today without Christ, it's as if you're trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ.
You surprised me tonight, honey.
There wasn't anything else to do. I had to go forward and receive Christ. By the time the pastor finished speaking, I knew I'd been saying no to God all these years. I couldn't stand the thought of rejecting him anymore.
Well, tell me something. Do you feel any different?
Some big sensation? No. But you know what I do feel? I feel clean.
I watched Paul closely for several days. And you know, he was really different. For one thing, his profanity just disappeared. I don't believe he even gave it much thought. It just ended. And he spent a surprising amount of time reading the Bible. 2 weeks later, our church began holding evangelistic meetings. As I listened to the evangelist explain what it meant to be really born again, I went forward and prayed. Oh, Lord, I understand now what it means to be having you living within me. I want the assurance of your presence in my life like Paul has. I want to be safe in your hands, Lord. Please help me. In Jesus' name, amen. From then on, ours was a Christian home in every way. And although it had never been an unhappy home, I can say that it was far happier during the years when Christ was truly the head of it. We were thrilled when our little boy Max prayed to receive Christ as his Savior, too. When Max grew up and went into the service, I was just as foolish as most mothers, I guess. When that first Christmas came around with Max in the Navy, I was perfectly miserable. I shopped carefully and much earlier than usual. I packed gifts and sent them to our son. But for some reason, when it came to the most expensive gift at all, a beautiful watch I knew he really wanted, I just couldn't bring myself to send it. Instead, I decorated the tree as usual and wrapped the watch and placed it under the tree. On Christmas Eve, we turned out all the lights but the colored ones. There was the tree, the gifts, and my husband. We could hear the chimes in the distance, and I sat and cried and cried and cried.
Honey, don't you think it's getting late?
Oh, I know it's late, Paul. I just feel so miserable and lonely. I miss Max so much. I'll never be able to sleep. I just know it.
I wish I knew what to say.
Oh, honey, I wish you did, too. But there's nothing.
Now, who in the world would be coming here?
I know.
I don't know what you think you know, but... Max! What in the world?
Merry Christmas. Home is the sailor, home from the sea.
Max, honey, you're home for Christmas. There I was, with the most special of all gifts I'd bought for my son, all ready and waiting under the tree. Oh, what a wonderful Christmas the three of us enjoyed together.
So tell us, son. What's it like being on board ship for such a long time?
It hasn't been so bad so far. The longest was 11 days.
Oh, that sounds like a long time to me.
Well, when we finally docked in China, we all left the ship, and I was feeling really lonely and homesick. I went to a bar.
Oh, Max.
Well, I ordered a beer, and when the bartender placed it in front of me, I thought about the two of you. I got up and left.
Oh, honey. We must have been praying for you right at that time.
You both have been such a strong example to me. I just wanted to let you know.
Oddly enough, after that first Christmas, I had no more emotional upsets. And Max was away for most of the year. He was home, though, in September of 1956, along with his wife, Joy, and their two children. It was a good thing because I really needed him. Oh, Paul. Oh, no, he can't be.
Mom. Dad, he's gone.
In a moment, we will learn how Hildred Stout chose to face the future and what the future held for her. Visitors to Pacific Garden Mission are often surprised to learn that the old lighthouse has a women's and children's division. It's called the Gospel League Home, and is located in a four-story former settlement house about 3 miles away from our main facility. The upper two stories are large, spacious apartments with the kitchen and dining areas in the basement. The women's and children's division has grown dramatically since it began in the early 1940s. Today, we accommodate well over 100 women with children, serving an average of 6,000 meals per month. Some of the occupants are travelers stranded without means in a great city. Some are refugees from homes broken by sudden violence and tragedy. They require patience and love, supplied in abundance by the women on staff. Now, we're often asked, where do these staff people, these workers, come from? And the best answer we know is simply this. God sends them, as he did Hildred Stout. For more information on the Women and Children's Division, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your mailing address.
Mom, it's been a long day. We'd better try and get some rest. You think you'll be able to sleep?
Oh, I don't know, honey. I feel so drained.
Well, why don't you leave your bedroom door open? Joy and I will, too. That way, we can talk back and forth until you fall asleep.
Oh, thank you, honey. That's very thoughtful of you. It's going to be so strange without Pa.
Joy, I don't know how she's going to be able to get over this by herself.
That night, my first without Paul, Max and Joy and I kept each other company from our adjacent rooms. As I prepared for bed, I picked up Paul's Bible from the nightstand. I paged through it and quietly wept as I read some of the many notes he had written in the margins. I gently placed the Bible on his pillow and eventually dropped off to sleep. Even through the difficult days that followed, I knew I was never really alone. I knew that Paul was with the Lord, and I also had the promise of Jesus, saying, "Lo, I am with you always." Well, there I was, 47 years old, and suddenly on my own. I had always wanted to be a nurse, so just a month after Paul's death, I got a job as a nurse's aide at a nearby nursing home. There I became accustomed to working with people who were troubled and ill. And because I was a Christian, I found myself being called upon for special duties.
Hildred, are you busy?
Oh, nothing that can't wait. Why?
One of the ministers is here. He wants to serve communion to Mrs. Loomis in room 5.
Oh, good. I know that she asked him to come.
He says he needs help and that you're the one he wants.
Oh, well, of course, I'd be glad to. That is, if you don't mind.
Mind? Not at all. I'd probably do everything wrong. You go ahead.
That sort of thing happened every few days, but of course there were some limitations on how much I was allowed to say to the patients about their souls. Sometimes I'm afraid I pushed the limits pretty far. There was one man I remember who came to us from a hospital. He was in great pain, and there was very little doubt that his illness was terminal. No one knew it better than the patient himself.
Hildred, you're wearing a flower in your hair.
Yes, it's my birthday. The staff's having a party for me this afternoon. Ice cream and cake.
Well, then happy birthday, and many happy returns of the day.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Collier. But even if the day never returns, that really doesn't matter. You see, many years ago, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart.
And that makes a difference?
Oh, yes, that makes a difference. And Jesus said, and let me read to you, here in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Oh, yes, Hildred. I'd like to ask the Lord to come into my heart.
Hildred, time for you to come out of the room.
All right, I'm coming.
Hildred.
I'll be back. You wait. I knew it was against the rules, but I also knew that a soul was at stake, and my patient wanted the assurance that only Christ could give him. So 5 minutes later, I was back at his bedside.
Hildred, stay with me.
Hildred!
I will. I'll stay. I'll be there in just a minute. Oh, listen, Mr. Collier. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? Just nod. Good. Now, you don't need to talk, but now in your mind, ask Jesus to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Now, tell me, Mr. Collier, are you going to that mansion Jesus has prepared for you?
Yes, my mansion in heaven.
Just a nod and a weak, happy smile, and he was gone. Well, later that day, the staff went ahead with my birthday party. There was cake and candles for me to blow out, and everybody singing happy birthday. And I cried so hard, I couldn't even blow out a single candle. I had almost forgotten about the thing I had once said to my husband, that if I were left alone, I'd go to Pacific Garden Mission to work. Then Joe Kerp, the heavyweight boxer, came to Berwick from Pacific Garden Mission to tell us about how he had received Christ. I had to work and couldn't be at the meeting to hear him, but I asked my nephew to speak to Joe, and that old idea of mine, he did, but my relatives were against the whole idea. So when a Pacific Garden Mission employment application arrived a few days later, I read it twice, shoved it into a drawer, and told myself I would just drop the whole idea. That night, I went to bed early. But at 2 a.m, I was still wide awake. Lord, I'm tired. If you'll let me sleep, I promise that I'll fill out that form tomorrow, first thing after work. Now, please, let me sleep. There. All the questions answered. References given. I wonder what the nursing home will tell them about me. Nothing to do now but put it in the mail, and Lord, whatever is your will, I'll do. Several days later, a letter from Pacific Garden Mission asked me to come to Chicago for an interview. I wrote right back and said no, it wouldn't be fair to the nursing home. Either I come to Chicago to stay or I don't go at all. With that, I quit my job, packed, and went to Chicago. Some might consider that foolishness, but I remember reading in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." And in the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This I had done years ago, and I knew that he would keep his word. And of course he did, and I did. I arrived bags and faith in hand at Pacific Garden Mission in 1965, and was welcomed with open arms and warm love, just as everyone who came to the lighthouse is. I was put to work immediately as night supervisor of the Women's and Children's Division, and also was asked to help out in the free clinic. I have so many fond memories of my time serving the Lord at the mission, but I'd like to tell you about a very special incident that is indicative of the work the Lord is doing in the lives of women and children who come there. It began when we admitted a woman with 4 children, ranging from 6 to 11. They were with us 2 weeks, and all of them received Christ as their Savior during that time. Well, that is all except a little 6-year-old boy. And then he came to me with an announcement.
Mrs. Stout, I'm leaving tomorrow. Mama said so. She said we're going.
Yes, that's what your mama was telling me, too. She said you're all going to go back and live with your daddy again.
Yeah. That's going to be real good.
Oh, tell me something. Your mother and other children all asked Jesus to come into their hearts. Did you?
Well, I...
Would you like to?
Yeah, I want to, but I thought I'm not big enough.
Oh, honey, don't worry about that. You and I will kneel right down here and talk to God about it. The next day when the family was all ready to leave, the little boy was brokenhearted because he had no gifts for me. I told him I didn't need any gift at all, but he wouldn't be satisfied.
Mrs. Stout, you wait right here. I'm going to talk with Mama. I just thought of something.
Well, honey, what did you think of?
My Mama got a big bottle of perfume. It smells real sweet. I'll get you that.
Oh, no, honey, don't do that.
Here it is. Here's a perfume, Mrs. Stout.
Oh, honey, you can't give me that. Your mother needs it.
I know. She told me that.
Then you take it back to her, honey.
Not yet. You gotta have a gift. Here, take the bottle and use the perfume. Once.
The privilege of using his mama's perfume bottle once may be the loveliest gift I've ever received from a human being. I know the memory of it brightens me up when things aren't going well. But the thing that kept me going and keeps the mission staff going day after day and year after year is the knowledge that God is using the old lighthouse and its people to reach the souls of men and women and children for Christ.
When Hildred Stout returned to her home in Pennsylvania in 1968, she went back to work at the same nursing home. And she worked there a total of 30 years, finally retiring at the age of 83. Hildred recently celebrated her 90th birthday with cards and letters and phone calls from many of the people whose lives she's touched through the years. She also enjoyed a gift of 90 roses and a great big cake from her 4 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren. Her son, Max, continues to be a big part of her very active life. We think Hildred's story should have special meaning for the lonely and for those who wonder if life does have a purpose. It may also say something as a warning to those who have long relied on respectability rather than on the blood of Christ to save them. If you would like to counsel with someone who cares about you, contact Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If this program has special meaning for you, write and tell us, and also let the manager of this station know that you appreciate Unshackled. This is program number 2564. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letters really do mean a great deal to us, so write soon. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Anytime, day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago at 312-922-1462.